When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Welcome to the Ortho Joe Show, a joint production of the Journal of Bone and Joint Surgery and Ortho Evidence. In our world, orthopedic research is king, and current topics from our respective publications are analyzed weekly. Here is Mohit Bhandari from Ortho Evidence and Mark Swinkowski from the Journal of Bone and Joint Surgery.
Well, hello, Mark. It's evening for us, but morning for one of our special guests today. But you know what? I do have my Ortho Joe, Mark, but I tell you, I do not have coffee in it, and I'll leave it to you to guess what might be in here for an evening. But regardless, hoping you're doing okay in Minnesota right now.
Yes, I'm doing just great, and I would have something warm in my Ortho Joe mug, except our power's out, so I'm actually doing this.
Okay, so we're going to get onto it. We're going to get right into this.
We're good. We got plenty of battery life, you know. We're the Energizer Bunny here in Minnesota, so we're good.
Excellent.
So why don't you introduce our guest?
Yeah, listen, a friend and colleague of mine, Dr. Jennifer Green. I think many of you who have been following, I think a lot of the work that's been done in equity, diversity, inclusivity, and orthopedic would know her already by reputation. But certainly for some of you who may not know her, she's a hand and wrist surgeon from Australia. Many, many other accolades, but of importance for this evening or her morning's discussion is that she's president of the International Orthopedic Diversity Alliance. And we're here to learn a little bit more about her work and specifically some of the advances that have been made in this specific area. Welcome, Jennifer. Good morning to you in Australia.
Thank you very much. Just on midday now, so we're...
Oh, midday, right, okay. So I've got my my time zone's a bit off here, but still.
Lovely to be here, and thank you. Thank you, Mo and Mark, for the invitation.
So I wonder if you could just start off by giving, for those who might be listening who aren't quite as up to date on IOTA, I guess, International Orthopedic Diversity Alliance, could tell me a little bit about its origins and a little bit about how far you've come in a relatively short period of time.
Sure. So we originally started in 2019 as a group of diversity advocates, about 45 of us from around the world, from 30 different nations. And we got together. I had previously been the chair of the Australian Orthopaedic Women's Group and sitting on the Australian Orthopaedic Board, and thought that there seemed to be a lot happening around the world, but we're all in our silos. So it seemed a very sensible idea to bring everyone together and see if we could amplify the work that's being done. So in 2020, we first published two papers, one of them in EFORT Open Reviews about gender diversity, and then a second one in the British Journal of Trauma and Orthopaedics about diversity in orthopaedics as well. And we got together and decided we would set up an organisation. So we got a 501c3 registration. Thank you to Christy Weber, our inaugural president and past president of the American Academy. And we set up a board with 12 people, and six of them representing the six different regions of the world. We've now got over 1,000 followers. We've got 1,000 members and more than 10,000 followers. And we've been speaking at a lot of meetings around the world, both in person and webinars. So we've really traveled the world, particularly this year, but also the previous year. We've been to the British Association, the American Academy, EFORT meeting, SICOP meeting. We've been to the Tunisian Orthopaedic Association, the Argentinian, the Italian, and we've been to Malaysia. So it's been quite a world tour this year for all our board members and many of our members standing up and really speaking out. And I didn't mention South Africa as well. One of our vice president, Marie Tiart, is standing strong in South Africa. So from representation, we're also developing a mentorship program, and that is led by Sean Tabe in the US, and he is bringing an international group together to plan a program where we can bring people into the fold who feel like they're really on the periphery of orthopedics, and encourage more people to join orthopedics who may not feel they really belong here at the moment.
What do you think? I mean, like, you know, the work you've been doing, I think you probably have a pretty good sense of you know, the progress that's being made, you know, just, you know, since the, I guess, inception of IOTA, but also some of the ongoing challenges. Like, how do you balance them? So maybe a little bit about some of the progress you've seen, just even during, you know, the period of time that you've been strong. I mean, you think you've been a lifelong advocate, but, you know, under the auspices of IOTA, and where do you see the ongoing work ahead? I think those would be the two areas which I'm generally curious about.
Yeah, so I think a lot of it's about education and understanding what is going on, and you know, treading obviously diplomatically. There is so much, as you both know, some really good evidence out there that diversity really will help orthopedics. You know, the corporates are well ahead of medicine. And we know from, you know, the paper from actually the UK, McKinsey, who are an enormous corporate, and they in 2015 wrote a paper on diversity, and they showed that if your organisation was 30% diverse, you were more likely to attract the top talent, you made better decisions, you were actually much more innovative, and you even made a greater profit. So there was a real baseline, and that's why corporate America and the corporate world is trying to integrate diversity. But we've been in medicine fairly slow to come to this. And there are quite a few barriers. Some of them are historic, but the main barriers that we really see are lack of role models, lack of visibility in role models. We have lack of flexibility in training, which is quite an issue, particularly for women, but also flexibility is good for people who want to do PhDs or may have some, you know, excellence in sport that they want to pursue, or some other talent. You know, we want everyone to explore their talents in orthopedics, not, you know, necessarily only be an orthopedic surgeon. And I'm sure, you know, Mo, you pretty well exemplify that as well. But the other problems we have are unconscious bias, really, in selection and promotion. And there are ways around that. Probably one of the inspiring things I've seen happen on the Australian Board of Orthopaedics, and we have the opportunity because we are the pivotal training body for our whole nation, and it's quite different to the US. We actually drive the selection process, and we've been able to digitize our selection process and our interview process. So we now have eight diverse panels where there must be a female on each panel in this selection process. And we've found that that has actually brought on a much more diverse traineeship or resident group. And we are continually reviewing that and seeing exactly, you know, if you tweak something one way, does that affect who you promote and bring on? The other things that we've also found are, you know, the promotion of women in particular being obviously the very underrepresented, given we're 50% of the population. But over the past 4 years since we set up our diversity strategy, and that's a thing around the world. There are only half a dozen nations that actually have a diversity strategy on their orthopedic for their orthopedic association. So trying to promote that is one thing IOTA is really, really keen to do. And for that purpose, we've developed the IOTA Charter, which is a document that we are inviting orthopedic associations around the world to sign and show that they are dedicated to actually driving diversity in their organisation, to creating opportunities for diverse surgeons and bringing in diverse residents. We so far have our first, this is fairly recent initiative. We've got our first three associations on board. So we have the British Association have signed up, the American Orthopaedic Association have signed the charter, and so have the New Zealanders. So the Australians and Americans are very, the Academy are very close behind. They're just processing at the moment. And then we're going to reach out around the world. And the Canadian Association, I know, has it on track. So let's try to drive. We know that leadership really drives diversity. There's a lot of evidence around that. I obviously read a lot about diversity in orthopedics, but also there's a huge amount of evidence outside of the orthopedic literature about how we can improve diversity in orthopedics.
And I had the chance to witness a very excellent symposium that you put on, and actually Dr. Bhandari participated as well with you, Dr. Green, at CCOT in Malaysia. And my feeling is that many of our listeners may not know about IOTA, and that's one of the reasons why we wanted to have you on.
Yeah, and I think what Mark was getting at too, Jen. I'm going to use my telepathy. I'm going to list my telepathy as a screen. But I think there's been a lot of interest. I think there's been a lot of interest, in trying to understand, orthopedic diversity. And I'm going to paraphrase here a bit. But can you speak? We've used a lot of terminology, and I know there's a lot of probably a lot of misinterpretation of what we mean by diversity, what we mean by inclusivity, and maybe what we mean by equity. Would you take a moment maybe just to share how you interpret some of these terms, or whether or not there's just a common overall overreaching goal that we should be all trying to strive
for? I think really IOTA's main goal is to have equity in healthcare.
Yeah.
And that's what it's all about. By creating greater representation in orthopedics, we can provide equity in healthcare. And there is so much being published at the moment in the orthopedic literature. We know, for instance, that women are between 3 and up to 22 times less likely to be offered a knee replacement than a male. We know that if you're a Black African American and you have major lower limb trauma, you are more likely to have an amputation. We know that if you are a child with parents who have English as a second language, you are less likely to access orthopedic care and have delayed treatment and presumably compromised outcomes. And there is now literature in almost every orthopedic subspecialty showing the disparity in healthcare that we are providing in orthopedics. And it is quite concerning. There are only a handful of papers that actually look at diverse healthcare workers and show that they do actually provide better outcomes for patients. Unfortunately, because we are so lacking in diversity in orthopedics, and we are around the world one of the two, it often varies between neurosurgery, cardiac surgery, and orthopedics, but orthopedics really is probably more renowned for our lack of diversity. And this evidence is mostly coming out of North America and some out of the UK, but we have to presume that it is around the same problems around the world. And in some places, they're going to be much worse than the US as well. So I think we have to look at the literature. We're scientists, and we have to drive our decision-making and our strategy through what we read and what we know.
Well, that totally makes sense to me as well. Thank you for sharing some of those insights. So, Mark, you were talking about your attendance at the CCOT meeting in Malaysia, and I'm curious what you took away from that and what insights you gleaned from that, as I think you had a couple of questions around those topics.
Right. For me, it was just a refresher course on the data, which are worrisome. But I came away with a sense of optimism that we as a specialty now have a plan, and we are in an organized fashion communicating that plan around the world. So I left encouraged. I would I don't know if you had a chance to answer the question that I was thinking about, was membership. What are the requirements? Can anybody join IOTA?
Anyone can join IOTA. So we invite orthopedic surgeons, students, medical students, trainees and residents. And we also invite orthopedic industry because they're actually a step ahead in being corporate organizations. They have already done quite a lot of work in diversity in their own organizations, and they are quite keen to assist orthopedics with becoming more diverse. And as you're no doubt aware, there are several major industry organizations who are promoting diversity of various types in orthopedics. And we want to collaborate with everyone in this space so that we can work together and have a more impactful outcome.
I think it's really important for our listeners to understand that they can join in this effort and support this effort and continue to learn together. You mentioned earlier an industry study that suggested that 30% diverse workforce made for much, much better functioning business. Is that sort of, should that be our target?
It should
be our target.
Yes, it should be our target. I mean, we don't, there is a lot of obviously discontent about actual physical, I think we can have targets without actually fixed numbers. I think it's a gradual increase in diversity that we need, but we need to understand where we will reach, what the targets mean, and what we should be aiming for. At the moment, there is not a single nation in the world that has 30% female orthopedic surgeons as participants. Not one, not even in Scandinavia. And, you know, down in Australia, we are 5%. It's pretty, you know, shocking for a nation that kind of prides itself on being very, very open-minded and progressive. So, you know, there is work to be done. And a lot of this is going to be driven, obviously, through organisations and through leadership. And that's why we are trying to really talk to leaders, involve leaders, and speak out at major meetings so that people understand the background and why we're doing it and what the actual evidence for diversity is. We don't want to say, look, we're only taking 30% females or 30% multicultural individuals onto our program, but we need to understand that to get meaningful outcomes, you really need to target those numbers. In Australia, we have a large Indigenous population. They're only 3% of our population overall. But until recently, you know, no one even noticed that we actually had Indigenous trainees on our program. And so, you know, they are fantastic role models. We have, we're about to graduate the first female Indigenous surgeon from our orthopedic program. And we don't want to burden these individuals with too much advocacy, but we certainly want to provide visible role models for people coming through who are Indigenous and may want to continue in orthopedics. When I was at EFORT, one of our colleagues, Linda Chikotho from Malawi, presented a paper about the value of femoral nails versus traction for femoral fractures. And, you know, brought to our attention for the whole audience that really there is little funding for technology such as femoral nails. And she has spent her PhD trying to prove that there is actual benefit to using femoral nail. I mean, for orthopedic surgeons, it's pretty obvious that putting patient in traction for 3 to 4 months, taking them out of workplace, having them many hundreds of kilometres from their family and their community is not the right approach to treatment. But in terms of Malawi actually getting funding, all the funding is going to medical illnesses such as TB and malaria. And Linda Chikotho was able to point out that actually the burden of illness for orthopedic injuries was far, far greater than these infectious conditions, yet very little funding going to that to orthopedics. You know, they have terrible roads, they have lots of accidents, but whilst it may be intuitive for orthopedic surgeons that this is a major problem, they're not getting much recognition or funding to look after their people. So, you know, it's from, you know, one extreme to another, really, where we're looking at diversity across the world, and there are different issues, and that's why we've got representatives from different nations. I mean, it's quite eye-opening. I only found out recently from our Middle Eastern representative that in Saudi Arabia they have a higher percentage of women in orthopedic training than the USA. I mean, absolutely astounding data. Malaysia, a moderate Muslim country, has had 4 presidents of their orthopedic association, more than anywhere else in the world. So it just really brings back to me my unconscious biases and understanding that we all have unconscious biases and we need to understand what the reality is. And that's part of what IOTA is trying to do, is to really lay open the information and connect communities, orthopedic communities around the world, so that we can take the best of each nation's initiatives to drive diversity.
At an individual level, so, you know, there's going to be, you know, there'll be those listening in who are actively participating, who are, and there's going to be a rare few who are actually leading this movement, such as yourself. What does the everyday, and I'll put this in bracket and quote, surgeon, resident, trainee do in their own institution that can help in any way, you know, sort of everyday movement towards moving diversity forward? What are the things that we could be doing at an individual level to kind of move this overall mission towards equity forward?
I think one of the main, you know, if we look at driving diversity, we're looking at the leadership driving from the top, but down at the grassroots, we need to encourage more diverse medical students and trainees into orthopedic, to pursue orthopedics, to give residents and trainees opportunities. So really trying to put our own internal biases to one side and recognise that we all have a role, and helping medical students see the joys of orthopedics. It's an amazing career. As one of the orthopedic past presidents in Australia like to say, there are 2 types of people in the world, those who are orthopedic surgeons and those who wish they were.
Yeah.
But it is a great profession. And if we can reach out and actually encourage our juniors to think about orthopedics, it doesn't take a lot to really just provide a moment of mentorship. Even when you have junior doctors around, when you have medical students around, and to encourage them and give them opportunities, to give opportunities. And we talk about mentorship, but we also talk about sponsorship. And a sponsor is someone that will actually talk about you rather than teaching you. There's someone, for those who in the audience who aren't clear about the differences, sponsors can be really pivotal in career advancement. So if you sponsor someone who is maybe not like yourself for a role in your organization or a role in your local community or a role in your orthopedic department, you are actually helping promote diversity as well.
Great. Excellent. So it's really encouragement and recruitment is how we could all help. So Mo and I had an interview on Ortho Joe last year with the first Black American Football League physician and the first Black National Hockey League physician. And we were talking about underrepresented minorities in our specialty. And one of the colleagues brought up the point, it's all well and good that we are concerned about the low teens of women in orthopedics, but we're 1.6% in underrepresented minorities. We'd love to be 3%. So yeah. It's a bit of a tough question, but I know you've had it before. Should we not be more placing more emphasis on the underrepresented minorities than women, or should we have it just be an overarching principle that we should follow?
Look, I think we really need to do both. And they do have, there are some nuances between how you engage and promote minorities versus gender diversity. But we have a lot of expertise now, a lot of people who and a lot of evidence about how to do this. And in the US, you know, there is a great advantage of having so many advocacy organizations such as the Gladden Society, Ruth Jackson, and we've got the Perry Initiative, we've got the AALOS, and Pride Ortho more recently as well. So there is really a lot of knowledge that we can seek out. And that's part of the concept of IOTA, is to bring everyone under the umbrella so that we can get the knowledge and the insights. Because I'm not an LGBTQI person, and I do not know the best alternatives and the best way to manage the diversity issues there. So, you know, seeking out from those who represent those minorities and getting the information from them, and not making it, we can't make the decisions on our own. That's why we need to reach out to those individuals and those societies that are already established. And, you know, pipeline programs are really excellent, like Perry Initiative and Nth Dimensions, in bringing those young people into orthopedics. But, you know, in the US, you have a lot of these organizations, and in the rest of the world, there are barely any at all. Right. So, you know, trying to really amplify some of the great work that is going on in the US and connecting people so that they can use what has already been developed and share it with their own nations is part of the process, I think. You know, it's a lot about education and data and evidence, just like the rest of orthopedics. Diversity is no different. And, you know, we really need those expertise brought in to help.
Well, that's perfect. I wonder if I might just kind of summarize what, you know, I think you've been speaking about. And for those who are listening in, I think sometimes what happens is, you know, you'll see presentations, you'll hear podcasts, and you think, oh, you know, diversity is this big global issue. But I think we have to always remember, and I think from your teachings, Jen, I think it's, you know, it's not just a global issue, it's a local issue. We have to be thinking about it, how we can manifest, you know, these changes every day. We sometimes think of it as a social issue, but it's actually our individual issue. We have to be thinking it's not out there, it's happening in each and every one of our lives. And if we can all become advocates, whether we join associations, and I encourage all of those listening in for us to become members of the IOTA.
It's free.
And that, you know, that's an easy one then, if it's free, right? So we should just do it.
But you can also contribute too, right, Dr. Green?
Absolutely. We'd love people to contribute. Absolutely. We have some sponsorship, and you know, we're very honored to have sponsorship from industry. But yes, it does take a lot of work, and we do employ someone to do a lot of background work. So yes, we would love donations. But it is, as you say, Mo, it's a very personal, it's a personal thing. It's a human interaction. And we do that every single day. And the way you interact with your junior staff and your medical students and your patients is really just a diversity driving activity every single day. And just a moment of reaching out to someone who doesn't look like you can be incredibly powerful. There's a lot of evidence around that, really the whole concept of that moment of mentorship. But you don't have to mentor someone for a year to have an impact on their career choices. You just have to show them that there is an opportunity and they may be welcome, and that you're welcoming them to think about it.
What a great way to end this interview. And we're so grateful for you taking the time out of your afternoon to chat with us on Ortho Joe. And we encourage the audience to think about joining IOTA, which is really an important mission for all of us. So thank you so much, Dr. Green, and have a great afternoon.
Thank you very much. And thank you for your support. Greatly appreciate it. Take care.
Take care.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Special episode note. The organization mentioned in this episode, the International Orthopedic Diversity Alliance, IODA, is a U.S. registered not-for-profit organization.